Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph. We begin two lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Lishna Achrina Amrila. There was actually another version of this statement of Amar, Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. You see, yesterday we learned in the name of Shmuel that sleeping beneath a canopied bed, or beneath a bed, which is within a sukkah, poses a concern because this fellow beneath this canopy is really no longer in the sukkah. And the Gemara tells us that the concern applies when either the canopy is large enough in size, is 10 tefachim high, in which case we considered it an oil, or even if it's lower than 10, but it has kvius, it has permanence, that makes up for its lack of height, and one is not meant to sleep beneath it. Today, the Gemara will add a third aspect. We have something called kilas chasanim, a canopy intended for a chasan, in celebration of the wedding. Here, we're more lenient than all the other cases. The Gemara says, even if it's very large in size, it's greater than 10 tefachim, no concern there. According to one shita, even if it has a flat roof, there's no concern. And the reason is because it's such a temporary thing, and therefore we don't have to reckon with it. Even if the chassan is sleeping beneath this canopy, it's as though he's still in the sukkah. We don't take the canopy into account. Says the Gemara once again, Lishna Achrina Amrila, there was another version of Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmo. Mutar Lishan Bekilas Chassan Besukkah. One may sleep beneath this chassan canopy, which is in within a sukkah. Because it was fashioned without a flat roof. It would come up to a point, like a tent, in which case it doesn't really have a flat roof. It's not an oil. And the chiddush is, afal pi shegvoya asar, even though it's 10 tefachim high, which generally poses a concern, here we don't have a concern because, as we're going to see soon in the Gemara, it's so not kavua, it's so not a temporary thing, and therefore it does not interfere with the sukkah. Says the Gemara, Meisvei, listen to this kasha. Hayoshen bekila besukkah lo yotei dechai vase. If one sleeps in a kila, beneath a canopy, which is within a sukkah, he's not yotzei. And the Gemara assumes that we're including all types of canopies, even kilas chasanim. So you see, it does take him out of the sukkah. Hacha b'mayaskinon. Apparently, we are speaking about a kila that is different than the one we described. B'shiyesh lo gag. It has a flat roof. In which case, it's an oil. And he's no longer in the sukkah, as opposed to the kilas chasanim, which comes to a point, and is not considered an oil. Toshma, listen to this, right? The Braisa says, naklitin shnai. We have another two types of canopies. Naklitin are the two-pole arrangements. That's you have your bed, you have a pole at the headpost, a pole going up at the other side, and something running across, and then you hang a sheet or a canopy over that arrangement, and it results in an overturned V. It comes up to a point. Naklitin shnayim. Those are the two poles. The kinoifos arba. Kinoifos is describing the four-pole arrangement, where you have a pole rising from all four corners of your bed, over which you spread a canopy. So what is the halacha if it happens to be in a sukkah? Pi reis al gabi kinoifos psula. If you spread a sheet over the kinoifos, in which case you have a flat roof, that's possible because beneath that is considered an oil, and you're no longer in the sukkah. However, al gabi naklitin kshera. Beneath the naklitin arrangement, that's the two-pole arrangement, that's fine because it doesn't have a flat roof. It's not considered an oil. However, says the Braisa, ubilvad provided, shaloi yuhu naklitin gevoyin min amita asar tefachim. These naklitin, these poles, a double-pole arrangement, should not rise 10 tefachim above your bed. Meaning, this chiluk between naklitin, which are considered a non-oil entity, and the kinefis, which are considered, yes, oil, That's only provided the canopy is within 10 tefach. Says the Gemara, ho gevoyin min amita asor psulam. Apparently, even the naklitim, where the canopy simply comes to a point, there's no flat roof. If it should be 10 tefachim above your bed, it's possible. Even though it doesn't have a roof. So how can you tell me Akilas Chasanim is fine, doesn't pose a concern despite the fact that it's very high, because it has no gag, because it comes to a pointy roof? Then why, by Naklitin, which are also pointy, do we say if it's above 10, it's a concern? Says the Gemara, there's a difference. Shani Naklitin Dekvi. Naklitin are different than Kilas Chasanim. Kilas Chasanim is just this temporary, here today, gone tomorrow canopy. Naklitin are more firm. They're affixed to the bed. They're sort of part of the furniture. They're here to stay for a while. They're kavua. In which case, we say, if it's above 10 tefachim, in conjunction with the fact that it has some kvias, there's a concern there. Says the Gemara, one second. If naklitin are considered kvi, if it has permanence, I kvi li have a kikinoifes, then why are you differentiating between naklitin, where you say, well, up until 10 tefachim you're okay, the concern only begins after 10, whereas by kinoifes you tell me that even below 10 it's possible. What's the difference? Says the Gemara, legabi kinoifes likvi. It's all relative. Naklitin is a step down from kinoifes. Kinoifes are really kavua. They're really part and parcel of the furniture there. So that canopy, on account of its permanence, that makes up for its height. Even if it's less than 10 tefachim high, we regard it as an oil with respect to the sukkah. As opposed to the naklitin, although they're somewhat permanent, but not as permanent as the kinoifes, in which case we say, look, if it's below 10, don't worry about it. But if it's already large in size, above 10, the fact that it has already the height, plus has a little permanence to it, both factors together generate an oil concern. So legabe kinoifes likvi, naklitin, with respect, in relation to kinoifes, are not considered kavua. Kinoifes are a step above. Therefore, naklitin are more lenient. However, in relation to the kila, legabe kila kvi, with respect to kila, of course, naklitin are a step above. They're more kavua than kilas chasanim. And therefore, when it comes to kilas chasanim, we're not concerned at all. And therefore, even if it's above 10 tefachim, don't worry about it. So basically, we have three categories. We have something which is very kavua, in which case we say that even if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's considered an oil on account of its permanence, on account of its quality. Then we have something which is not really kavua, like naklitin. So only if it's large in size are we concerned with it. Then we have the third madriga, a step below that, kila, which is totally not kavua at all. In which case we say, irrelevant of its size, don't worry about it. So up until now we spoke about a kilas chasanam, which came up to a point, ein lo gag. The Gemara will add another dimension. Dorash Rabba Barafuna, he maintained that you can be makel even more by kilas chasanam because of its temporary nature. Muter lishan bekila, one may sleep in a kila. Taisus is gurus the words kilas chasanam. Afal b'sheish logag, even if it has a flat roof, a flat top. Afal b'sheish gvay asara, even if it's 10 tefachim high, because it's just a fleeting thing, and it doesn't interfere with the sukkah. Says the Gemara, keman k'Rabbi Yehuda. Do you mean to say that Rabba Barav Huna is ruling like Rabbi Yehuda? De Amar lo yosi oyel arai, umevatel oyel keva. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah is considered a permanent dwelling, in which case we say that, let's say there's a bed in the sukkah. There's no concern with sleeping beneath that bed because the bed is just a temporary oil. It's something portable, and it doesn't interfere with the sukkah, which is a oil kava. It's a makam of sukkah. This is just a kli, comes and goes. It doesn't interfere. And apparently Rabbi Bar Afuna, who's allowing an individual to sleep beneath a kilas chasanim, even though it has a roof, even though it's ten tefachim high, is following Rabbi Yehuda. It's not concerned with an oil arai, interfering with an oil kva. Where do we find Rabbi Yehuda's shita? It's not. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, nohag nohinu, lishan tachas hamita. We were accustomed to sleeping beneath a bed in a sukkah, b'fnei askenim, in front of the elders, in front of the chachamim, and they never voiced their opposition. Apparently, that's okay. And the reason is because the mita is merely a temporary oil and doesn't interfere, doesn't encroach with the sukkah. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that he is following Rabbi Yehuda's shita, v'lei malach Rabbi Yehuda. Why wouldn't Rabbi Bar Rav Huna simply say, you know what, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Why does he have to describe the halacha in this flowery way? Just state briefly, we follow Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, Amar halach Rabbi Yehuda. Had he only said that, havamina, perhaps I would say, hani mili mita. When it comes to a bed within a sukkah, over there we follow Rabbi Yehuda. And it's not because the oil harai will not interfere with the oil kva. That's not the rationale behind that halacha. Perhaps it's a specific svara pertaining to a bed. Hani mili mita del gaba asuya. What's a bed intended for? Creating an oil beneath it? No. Primary function of a bed is l'gaba, for the top, l'gaba asuya. It's intended for its lying space. And therefore, perhaps, it does not have a shem oil at all. So it's not related to the svar of oil arai, not interfering with oil kva. A bed is not oil, period. Avokila de l'seich asuya, as opposed to a canopy, which is intended to function as a to provide shelter for within it, l'teicha asuya, emor lei, perhaps over there. You can't apply that svara. And perhaps since it's an oil, be it an oil arai, it would interfere with the sukkah. Kamash malon. That's why Rabbi Bar Rav Huna presented this halacha by describing a kila, mutalishim l'kila, because he's trying to teach us a chiddush in pshat and havana. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda allows sleeping beneath a bed in a sukkah is not because the bed is non-oil. It is an oil. Rather, because the bed, which is merely a temporary oil, cannot interfere with the oil kva, which is a sukkah. And therefore, loishna mita, it's irrelevant of whether we're speaking about a bed, loishna kila, or a canopy. And actually, there's a shaila in the Mefarshim. See, it would seem from the Gemara's wording that Rabbi Rav Huna is following Rabbi Yehuda strictly. But others learn that at the end of the day, Akilas Chasanim, because of its lack of chashivas and lack of permanence, even the Rabbanon, who hold that one may not sleep beneath a bed, would agree in this case that Akilas Chasanim never poses a concern within a sukkah. Okay, to summarize, we had basically three categories of temporary oils within a sukkah. So we just go back a bit to yesterday. We had a whole list, and today we added another case as well, the kilas chasan. So let's say we have a bed, a mita, a standard kila, a standard canopy, or the nakliten, which was that V-shaped canopy over the bed, supported by two poles, one on either side of the bed. In all three cases, we say that they're not really kavua. They have some degree of kvius, but not to a great extent. Therefore, we say, if it's less than 10 tefachim, there's no concern. However, by kinoifis, which is the four-pole arrangement around the bed, over there we say, since it is kavua, even if it's less than 10 tefachim, it would pose a concern. Today we added another case of kilas chasanim. So according to one version of the Gemara, it had no flat roof. It came to a point. According to the other version, even with a flat gag, we say, since it's really, really something so temporary, even if it's large in size, if it's 10 tefachim high, it wouldn't pose a concern. Continues the Mishnah. Hidla aleha es agefen. So he has a sukkah, and he's strung over that sukkah, a gefen, a vine, es adlas, or a pumpkin, the leaves of a pumpkin, es akisus, some type of plant, perhaps ivy, So these are being used as schach. The problem is, they're still attached to the ground. He added some of his own schach on these items, psula, because the sukkah is now being covered by schach pas. However, if he added way more schach kasha than schach pasul, in which case the schach pasul is now batal barev, or she cuts it on, or he happened to detach those plants, kshir, now his sukkah is kasha. Now, what's the general guideline when it comes to schach? Zaklal, this is the general rule. Kol shu mekabel tuma, any item which is considered a kli, a utensil which is mekabel tuma, or the ein gedulim in eretz, it doesn't really grow from the ground. Ein mesachikim boy, it's not suitable for schach. However, v'chol davar she'ein mekabel tuma, if something is not a finished utensil and is not mekabel tuma, and the gedulim in eretz, it grows from the ground, it's kasher mesachikim boy. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rav Yosef, come to Rav Huna. Rav Yosef is sitting in front of Rav Huna. Rav Yosef Ka'amar, and Rav Yosef was sitting and saying over the following pshat. The Mishnah said, if he happened to use a mechubel kaka for his schach, or she cut it on kshir, if he went ahead and he snipped it off the ground, that's fine. Says Rav Yosef, in the name of Rav, v'amar Rav, that's not enough. Because you have to make your sukkah. You have to build it manually. Pasuk says, Chag HaSukkah is Tasalacha. And therefore, says Rav, just detaching it off the ground is not enough. Vitzorich Linanea. You have to actually give that Tzchach a bit of a shake, which constitutes somewhat of a masa. And now you made your Sukkah. Let's go over to Rashi. Around halfway down the Amid, by the word Gemara. V'yosef, says Rashi. V'yosef, Rav Yosef, v'ka'amar hachi. Rav Yosef was presenting the following pshat. Ha, this not Osher Katsun Ksherum. The Mishnah, which speaks about detaching the tree. Amar Rav Allah. Rav added, Nihi de'in tzorach lachzor l'soy shrakula. Although you don't have to take apart all your schach, but you still have to do something. Av tzorachu l'naneak tzas. You have to shake a bit. Oysam shehuschachu b'mechubar. Those plants which were previously attached and are now being detached, you have to go ahead, give them a little shake, a little lift, that they have a, which is now considered like an asiya, like he's fashioning, like he's manually building a sukkah. Diloy could otherwise psula, misham tase v'loy menase. It's considered done, made by default. It's circumstantially there. He didn't do it, and it's not good. Why? The pasuk says like this: Chag HaSukkah is Tasalcha. We learn Sukkah is Tasa. You have to make it a sukkah. Kishata Oisa Oisa. When you build your sukkah, speaking about the schach, when you present your schach, Tehi Ru'i LeSukkah. At that point, it should be roi, should be kosher, to serve as a sukkah, as opposed to a case where, when the schach arrived onto that sukkah, it was not roi, it was still attached to the ground. And now he went ahead and detached it. The schach has been made there. He didn't put it on as schach kosher. And therefore it doesn't work. V'loy mina osoy b'psul. Shein roi lo sukkah. V'ata matakli. B'sikin mu'ot. As opposed to a case where it was done when it was still puzzle. And now he's going to fix it up a bit. Amend it. Adapt it. That's not enough. Like this fellow is trying to be machshir the schach pasul by simply detaching it off the ground, without actually demolishing the schach and rebuilding it. So the point is that the Torah requires that the sukkah be built by a person. When we say built, we mean built as a sukkah, as a functioning sukkah, as opposed to a case where he piled schach pasul, still attached to the ground, on his sukkah. At that point, he didn't make a sukkah. He didn't make a functioning sukkah. So although he follows up by snipping it off the ground, the schach is lying there from before. He didn't place it there as functioning schach. That's called mina asoy. It's just there on its own. So you have to do something. What do you have to do? It says Rashi. Umiyu ne'anua, just shaking it is enough. Karlus tirhu. It's close enough to redoing the schach. That's sufficient. Shemagbiya kolach levadi, picks up each branch on its own, manicha, and puts it down. V'choiz magbiya aschaver manicha, and does the same with the other ones. So this is the chiddush of Rav. When you go and detach it, you have to be menaneya to sort of refresh the schach. And now it's chag ha-sukkah, it's tase. You've made it, you've built it as a functioning sukkah. Says the Gemara, Amali Rav Huna. Rav Huna responded to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef presented this halacha, this chiddush name of Rav. Responds Rav Huna, Hashmuel Amra. That's incorrect. It's actually Shmuel who said this halacha. Adrinu Rav Yosef Lape. Rav Yosef turned away his face in anger. V'amrali, and he said, Atu mikamin alach. Did I mean to say Deloy Amra Shmuel, that only Rav said it and not Shmuel? I didn't say that. Amra Rav, v'amra Shmuel. Perhaps Rav said it, and also Shmuel. Why are you challenging the accuracy of my halacha? I wasn't saying it exclusively in the name of Rav, the exclusion of Shmuel. Amalei Rav Huna, no, says Rav Huna, this is what I meant to tell you. This Shmuel Amar V'loi Rav, no. It was inaccurately attributed to Rav. This is Shmuel's halacha. Rav disagrees with this halacha. The Rav Achshuri Ma'achsha. Rav would be perfectly fine, even without shaking the schach that has now been detached from the ground. Let's go back to Rashi. It's about parallel to our position in the Gemara. Adrin Rav Yosef Lapei Bekas, he turned away. He says, what do you mean? Maybe Rav and Shmuel both said it. No, says Rav Huna. Rav is achshur himachsha b'loi ne'ano, without shaking the kosavar. Detachment is considered completion of the asiyah. And that's called tasa. Placement on your sukkah while it was still attached is not a complete masa. It's a masa, but it's pending further developments. And when he goes and detaches that schach off the ground, he is completing the masa. He's activating the schach. He's enabling it for sukkah use. Now he's completing the asiyah, and he's doing it himself, and that's tasa. He's now making it into a functioning schach. That's fine. It's no need to go ahead and shake it and move it. This detachment on its own is considered asiya. So what then is the problem of tasa v'lo min asi? What's the classic case, says Rashi? Ve'echidomi tasa v'lo min asi. Kugana chitit begadish. He has a pile of bundles out in the field, and he starts digging, hollowing out the pile. Lasas l'sukkah. In which case he leaves the upper layer of bundles untouched, intact. So there was no manual contact there. He didn't actually arrange the upper bundles. They were left as is. That's loy min asi. That's just asi. It's there by default. He didn't do anything to them. Shasich choyim e'ela. Vein negeya boy. Lasas shemaisa. He didn't do anything to the schach of his creative sukkah. Elo peichis achas b'naf noisef. He picks off one of the walls, so to speak. And digs into the pile, and pulls out some bundles, hollows out the center, and there you go, bingo, you have a sukkah. You have walls, you have a schach. There was no tasa there. There was no asiya. He didn't fashion that schach. Mashenken, in this case, says Rav, avazesha kititzan, this fellow who detached the tree, zehu maase shalom. This very detachment is the masa. Shenigma behersha. He finished it behersha. So Rav holds that detachment also constitutes masa. So although it was already lying on a sukkah, but it wasn't finished. It wasn't a finished product. It wasn't a finished masa. So when he turns around and detaches it from the ground, that in itself is considered the masa. Because now he's enabling the schach for use. He's activating the schach. So whatever was done until that point was just up in the air, was a pending masa. It wasn't finished. This is the completion. This is the Gemara masa. And therefore, the sukkah was manually built by a person. Therefore, says Rav Huna, don't attribute this chumrah to Rav. He doesn't hold of ni'anua. You don't have to shake it. Once you detach it, that in itself is a ma'asa on its own. Continues the Gemara with another example, where Rav would hold that enabling, activating, is sufficient ma'asa. We know that by tzitzis as well. You need to do it manually. The pasuk says, "Dilam taslacha." You have to make it. It can't just be formed by its own, by default. However, Rav would hold that activating the tzitzis through a ma'asa is enough. As we're going to see, Kiha de Rav Amram Chasida. There was a story with Rav Amram Chasida. Ramat Chelta. He applied chutei tchelis, meaning tzitzis, leparzuma, to the clothing, the inshi basi, the members of his household. Rashi learns to his wife. He held that tzitzis is not a mitzvah, sazeh shez magroma, you're meant to be mekayim tzitzis even at night. It's not a time-related mitzvah, in which case, even nashim achayiv. In any case, what did he do? Tolon v'le posak roshei chutin shalem. Instead of applying four separate strings, he took one long string, folded it four times, and he took this four-ply string, pushed it through the hole of the tzitzis, of the corner of the beged, and then he went ahead and, of course, he tied it to the beged, but it was still a single four-fold thread. Talon, he hung them, v'le pasak roshe chutin shalhem, without detaching, without separating those loops at the end. He didn't actually detach the strings. So now he tied it to the beged, and he had a shayla. Osel kamed Rav Chiya bar Rashi. He came to Rav Chiya bar Rashi. What should I do? Amarle, he responded, Hachem Rav. This is what Rav said in this case. Mefaskem Shir. Just cut them apart and you're okay. Although, they're already attached to the beged. They're already knotted to the beged. You would think the asiya is done and over with. So how could you go ahead and retroactively be machshir the tzitzis after the fact? There was no asiya behechshir, because when he tied it onto the beged, it was as yet undetached. It was a fourfold thread. No mefas kevnei kshir, just detach the corners, cut the loops, and they're okay. Alma, what do we see from here? Psikasan zuasiyasan. Snipping them apart is considered the asiya, because right now he's activating the tzitzis. He's enabling them for use. This is the gemar asiya, and he will mekayim tasa. Hachanam here is all by sukkah. Ktitzasan zuasiyasan. Detachment is called the asiya. So this shita is Rav, whereas Shmuel holds that no. When you place a sach on your sukkah, that sach has to be kosher for it to be considered an asiyah of sukkah. When you tie those strings on your beged, they have to be proper strings, separate threads, so that the asiyah should be behechsher and considered a proper asiyah. You can't do it after the fact and have it applied retroactively. Says the Mubasabar Shmuel Amrin, Psikosan Zuasiyasan. Is that so that Shmuel does not subscribe to this concept that snipping them apart is considered the Asiya? Vatani Shmuel, Mishor B'chia. Let's say he took a doubled over thread, right? Four ply thread, as we mentioned. And not only that, he tried to cut corners. So he had his beged with two holes. He tried to do two at a time. So he took the four-ply thread, pushed it through one of the corners, and let it hang down a bit, came back up, pushed it through the other one, and let it hang down, and then he did the tying, and now you have two sets of tzitzits, but they're really still all connected as one. So two deficiencies. One, on account of the fact that the string itself is not separated. It's a four-ply thread running all across the tzitzits. Number two, both corners are technically still separate, still connected. So Shmuel spoke about this case. Hitel lishnei kronis bevas achas. He applied the tzitzis to two corners of the beged at once. Va'achar kach posak roshei chutin shalahen. After which he went ahead and detached the chutin. Ksher, it's okay. So we see psikasan is called a masa, which is machshir. That's Shmuel. My love should not assume that the case is where he first tied him onto the beged and then afterwards followed through by snipping. Shekoysher v'achach poisek. Says, well, no. No, he should poisek v'achach koysher. What happened was, he first detached the threads and then tied the tzitzis onto the beged. So all he really did was, he took a four-ply string, pushed it through one corner of the beged, pushed it through the other, but didn't actually tie it onto the beged. Pushing it through is not really an asiyah. So no harm was done as of yet. And then he went ahead, detached the three strings, separated them, and then proceeded with the ikshir, which is the real asiyah, and that's behashir, and that's fine. Says Gemara, if that's the case, what's the chiddush? Poisik. V'achach kosher. For speaking that he first detached the threads and then really tied the tzitz onto the beged, my lememra, why discuss it? It's pashut. Now the tamer, perhaps I would think, that's also a problem. But inon knaf, b'shas psil, perhaps, it needs to be a separate corner. Each thing has to be independent at the time of psil when he's actually pushing the threads through the hole in the beged. But like in this case, you don't have it because when he pushed it through, he was doing two at a time. Kamash Malon, the chiddush is, there's no concern. So in any case, we learn that with respect to sukkah, with respect to tzitzis, which have this thing in common, that you need to have a asiya, tasa. What if it was done in a manner which is not yet fit for mitzvah, but then he came back and he fixed it up. He completed it. He activated it through a manual masa. Rav says it's okay. Shmuel says it's not. Meisvi, listen to this kasha on Rav. If he strung it onto the beged, and then without detaching the threads beforehand, it's possible. My love, should not assume that psul means forever, because once you tie it onto the beged, it's too late. To the Rav. This is the Kashan Rav. Amlach Rav, my psulin. When the Brisa says psulin, it means psulin ad shiyifsiku, until they get separated and detached. But once you do that, it's certainly fine. Because that's called the asiyah of the tzitzis. The Shmuel Amar psulin oilam. The Brisa says psulin, it means for all time, because once he attached it to the beged in a manner which was unfit for tzitzis use, so when he comes back and he snips them apart, it's too late. It was already asiyah. It was already done. Done in a manner which is not called a proper asiyah. He has well learned that the Braisa is referring to lo'ilam. There's another version of Rav Masna. I had a personal account with Shmuel of this type of case where it was strung up and then separated. So you come to Shmuel. I approach Shmuel. V'amali psul oilam. You cannot use these tzitzis. Says the Gemara, we're going to have a kasha on Rav. Meisvei, listen to this price. Tolon v'achakach pasak. Rosh echutin shalhem psulin. If he strung up the tzitzis and then detached the threads, the tzitzis is possible. That's number one. V'oy tani gabi sukkah. We have another price regarding sukkah. The price begins with the pasak tas. The pasuk reads, "Chag hasukos tasal chashivas yamin." We learn from here, you have to actually make it. You can't have a circumstantial sukkah, a default sukkah. You have to actually build your sukkah. Tasa v'leimin asa, as opposed to something which was just there. Mikan amru. From this we learn, hidla aleo esagefen. If he strung the vine over a sukkah, v'esadala, so the pumpkin, v'esakisus, the other plant, v'sichach al gabon, he added some schach psula. A sukkah is possible. Now, what type of plant are we speaking about? The vine is still attached to the ground? Hey, chidame, what's the situation here? Ilay mishloi katitzan. Are we speaking that he hadn't yet detached it from the ground? It's still attached. Then, my irya mishum tasev lemin asi. Why does the brisa have to relate the problem, the psul, to the pasuk of tasa, which teaches us v'lemin asi? You have a much more simple problem here. Typically, the mechubar ninu is a much more basic deficiency. It's still connected to the ground. It can't serve as schach. Elabisha Katsuson apparently was speaking that he detached it. So he strung the vine over a sukkah, then went over and detached the vine from the ground. the Bryce tells us, doesn't work. Why? Tasav lemin us, simply detaching it, is not called a mice. And since it was placed on the sukkah, when it was not yet roy to serve a schach, so you have schach, which is just lying here, without having manually being placed here, because when he placed it, it was not yet roy for schach. He didn't make a functioning sukkah. El Bishakotzuson was speaking that he detached uktani psula. What does the Brisa say? It's possible because it's tasav lemin asay ushmam ad loy amrina. Apparently, we don't say ktitzasan zu asiyasan. Detachment is considered like fashioning it. But you have to the Rav. And this is another kasher on Rav. So we have two Brises, which are kasher on Rav. One by tzitzis, who we see snipping apart those threads after the fact doesn't work. And same thing regarding schach. Detaching the schach from the ground after the fact doesn't either work. Amalach Rav. Rav will respond. The Brisa of schach isn't really a kasher. Hachav my skin, you know what we're speaking about? The shalfinu shalufi. When he detached the tree, he left it there. He pulled it, but just barely detached it. In which case, the leimenkira asiya ditu. It's not really visibly detached from the ground. It is technically detached, according to the way Rashi learns. But since it's not obviously detached, there's a rabbinic, the chacham had a chashash, a marasa ayin, and therefore, don't use the sukkah. Taisa says another pshat, he says, it's detached, but it's still somewhat hanging there, the skin, the bark is still attached, in which case, it would seem from Taisa that even Minat Torah, it's not considered off the ground. So that's the case. Certainly if he would have properly detached it, in a way which makes it obvious to all that it's off the ground, says Rav, of course, that's okay. This heksher, this enablement, this activation is considered the asiyah. Okay, says the Gemara, you've addressed the Brisa of Sukkah. Mikol Mokim, Tolon, V'achach Pasak, Kashil Rav. What about the first Brisa? He strung those tzitzis, and then was Pasak the Chutan. It's possible. That's a Kashil to Rav. Indeed, says the Gemara, Kashil, we leave it as an unresolved Kashil. So just briefly, again, we spoke about the din of Asiyah, which applies to Sukkah. Chagach Sukkah is Tasalacha, which applies to tzitzis. Gdilam Tasalacha. In both cases, the item has to be manually created, manually fashioned, to be considered tasa. A classic example of v'loy min ha'asui is the case Rashi brings, where he hollows out a pile of bundles, and there he goes. He has a sukkah. It doesn't work, because he didn't build a schach. It just happened to be sitting here by default. That's asui. It's just done. It's there on its own. So we learned in the Mishnah, what's considered kasher eschach? A, has to grow from the ground. B, can't be mekabel tuma. And three, it has to be detached off the ground. So what happens if he has a tree on his sukkah and then detaches the tree? It says Rav, ktzitzasan zu asiyasan. Detachment is the asi. Up until now, it was just lying dormant. The asi began, but it was pending further development. It was awaiting his detachment. Now I completed the asiyah. Now I activated it. Now I added the spiritual dimension. I enabled it for sukkah use. That is the asiyah. That's called tasa. Same thing regarding tzitzis. Even though when he strung it up and he tied it to this beged, it wasn't really kosher. It was a folded over string. But afterwards he goes in and splits it apart, cuts the loops. Tzitzasan, psikasan, zui asiyasan. Shmuel maintains you can't do that. Fact that matters, the tzitzis was already strung up on the baguette. Physically, it was done. The schach was on the sukkah. So he says you can't go ahead and fix it after the fact. And therefore, by schach, the only way to address this concern is to actually do menaneh, shake that schach, to add some personal dimension to it, to go ahead and show that there's an asiyah. But that's enough. That's enough to be considered a tas. Leima katanoi, perhaps this question of whether a tzitzasan is considered an asiyah or not is based on machlokes tanoi. The Mishnah says, avar v'liktan pasul. What does this mean? Let's go over to Rashi, 10 lines from the top. Avar Lichten. Anvei Hadas. He picked the berries off his Hadas. It's not a Kamon. A berry may not have, a Hadas may not be laden with berries. Imhoyu Anovav Merubin Ma'olav. Possible. If this Hadas was laden with many berries, more than its leaves, it's possible. Lahavli Menumar. Looks like it's spotted. Lehadaru. It's not pretty. So he's not meant to use it. And if you take off the berries, of course, it's kosher. V'imiyatay kosher. However, ve'im ma'atim yantiv. Not meant to do that on yantiv. The second mana. La'achsher es hapsol. But the rabbanon, not meant to do that because you're enabling the hadas for use. You're fixing something. It looks like you're fixing a clip. You're not meant to do it, mid rabbanon. But what happens if he did it? Uktani b'brais. Overall, divrei chacham. He was over on the isra rabbanon. She'amr eim ma'atim yantiv. Ve'liktam yantiv. And he picked it off on yantiv. What's the halacha? Speaking of the hadas was ready, put together with the lulav and the arava bundled together. So now he decided on yontif to pick off those berries. Possible, the hadas is still possible. So getting back to the gemara, avar relictan possible. It doesn't help. It's too late. Divrei Rabbi Shimon bar Yitzchak v'chachamim machshir. I say it's okay. How do we explain the machlokes? Sobro, now the bnei beis hamedrash who presented this. This Mishnah, they figured it's going to be machlekes whether or not ktsitsa is called an asiyah, in accordance with the machlekes Rav and Shmuel. So those who presented the Mishnah figured like this. They had two premises. They're working based on two hanachis. Number one, the kuli amalul of tzarech eged. Both shittas in this Mishnah hold that a lulav needs to be bundled together. Meaning the lulav and the hadas and the rava has to be tied together. You have to create a new entity here. That's number one. And it has to be done manually with an asiyah. V'yalfina lulav misukah. We derive lulav from sukkah, where it says, d'chsidiv gab misukah ta'asav lemon asir. Has to be manually made, likewise by lulav. This igud, this bundle, has to be fashioned. You have to fashion a new entity. A lulav, hadas, rava combination. So assuming these two things are true, how are we going to explain the machlokes in the Mishnah? In a case where the hadas had many berries, and after tying it together, he decided to remove the berries. One shita says aser, one shita says mutter. Maila bokemifli. Apparently, the machlokes is based on that question. The question between Rav and Shmuel. Demand the machshir savar amrinan gabi sukkah, tzitzasen zuasiyasen. The Chacham who are machshir hold that picking those berries, even after the fact, even once it's been bundled together with the other meaning, that's okay. Because just as by sukkah we say, k'titzosun zu'asiyosun, detaching the tzach off the ground is considered nasiyah because you're enabling it, you're activating it at this point. Here as well, picking those berries, which is machshir that adas, is considered the asiyah. And you're okay. Uman the pasul, but the other shita who says pasul, savar le'yamrin and gabe sukkah k'titzasin zu asiyasin, holds that just as by sukkah we don't say detaching the schach is called the asiyah, because we look at the physical side of things. The schach was on the sukkah of b'psul, so now you have a detached schach which is just happens to be there by default. So we don't say detaching is called an asiyah. The gabul of nami le'yamrin l'kitasin. Zohi asiyosin, likewise by lulav, which is derived from sukkah. We don't apply a concept of likita zu asiyah. We don't say picking berries. It's considered a maisa. And since the maisa, which maisa of eged, of bundling the lulav, hadas, and rava together was done by psul, because at that point the hadas was laden with berries, the asiyah is not considered a proper asiyah. Because once again, the point of asiyah is to fashion the chevet shel mitzvah. When it's full of berries, it's not royal mitzvah. So that masa doesn't count. So after it's been bundled, he comes back and he picks off the berries. And as Masha the Hadas, he didn't actually bundle it together. Because when he bundled it, it wasn't a kashra hadas. So the kitasin doesn't make an asiyah retroactively. So it seems indeed that the machlekes Rav and Shmuel is a machlekes tanoim. Loi, says the Gemara, your premises aren't really substantiated. They're working with two hanachis, two notions. Number one, all agree you have to bundle together, tie together that lulav tzarech eged. And number two, we connect lulav to sukkah. And just as sukkah needs an asiyah, it needs to be fashioned manually. As a functioning sukkah, same thing regarding lulav. Right? That was the basis of this presentation. No, he says the madukuli amaloyam rina gabi sukkah. Perhaps all shittas in this Mishnah would agree that by sukkah detachment is not an asiyah. So what then is machlekes? Machlekes is whether lulav is an asiyah altogether. Machlekes is whether we learn lulav from sukkah. Manda machsha. The chacham must say picking those berries is considered fine. Savalei alfina lulav misukkah. We don't learn lulav from sukkah. Just because sukkah needs an asiyah doesn't necessarily mean that lulav needs an asiyah as well. The Gemara just assumed that since sukkah has a masa, the Torah was makbid, that it should be done manually. Behechsher, huadin, lulav that needs a masa of eged, a bundling of tying together, has to be done in this manner. Not necessarily. Perhaps in this case, even if it happens to be bundled together from beforehand, that's also fine. That's one shita. That's a chachamin. So even though at the time of bundling it was possible, once it comes back and picks off those berries, even a default asiyah is fine. Uman the pasal savar, however, the other shita who says pasal holds, yalfina lulav misukkah. We learn one from the other. And lulav needs an asiyah of a heksha. And if he can't come back and pick those berries after it's been bound together with the other minim. Another pshat could be. Perhaps the question revolves around whether or not lulav needs to be bound together with the other minim. Right? So we started with a hanach. We started with a premise that lulav needs to be bound together. Tzarech eged. And number two, it needs to be an asiyah like by sukkah. That was the starting point of the discussion. So apparently the shaila is whether a retroactive ma'aseh works. So first there was, no, perhaps, although lulav needs to be bound together, but not with a ma'aseh, you don't have to do it behechsher, even if it's just bound together by default. Meaning, even if during the binding together was not kosher yet. But since right now it's kosher and happens to be bound together, that's fine. Right? Perhaps that's the shaila between the two shittas. That was the first teretz. And second teretz will say, you know what? Maybe the machlokes is whether or not it needs to be bound together in the first place. You know, if they would hold that lulav needs to be bound, then you would have a concern. Kuli alma lepligi, all would agree. The alfina lulav misukkah. Yeah, of course we would learn lulav from sukkah. And you need an asiyah behechsher. Machlokes is as follows. Mar savar tzorech eged. The Tanakama holds, you have to bind them together. You have to create a new entity, in which case, that asiyah has to be done by Hashem. And therefore, if you come pick your berries later on, it's too late. Umar Savar ain't Zerach Eged. Whereas the Chachamim hold, the lulav does not have to be bound together. You don't have to fashion the three minim into a single bundle, a single entity. There's no asiyah here altogether. So what's wrong with picking the berries after they've been bundled together? You're okay. So in conclusion, when he picked off his berries, whether it's kosher or pasul, the assumption was, all shittas hold lulav tzarech eged, and all shittas hold, you need a manual asiyah. Apparently, machlekes says whether picking those berries is considered an asiyah or not. First test of the Gemara was, no, perhaps all agree lulav tzarech eged. The question is whether or not you need an actual asiyah. Second teretz was, the question is whether or not you even need an eged. Says the Gemara Ur Plukta Dani Tanai. And this is compatible with another machlekes Tanai. The Sanya, lulav, bein ogud, bein she'ein ogud kosher. Whether or not the lulav is bound together with the hadas and the rava, that's fine. It should be the Omer, ogud kosher. If it's tied together, it's fine. She'ein ogud pasul, but otherwise it's pasul. My time, Rabbi Yehuda. Yolav lekicha lekicha, magudas ezev. He has a gzer shava. Lulav from the bundle of grass, Agudas Ezoiv, used to smear the blood of the Karm Pesach and Mitzrayim. Ksiv Hasam, Lekachtam, Agudas Ezoiv. Over there it says, take, Lekachtam, the bundle of the Ezoiv, Ksiv Hacha. And over here by Sukkah it says, Lekachtam, Lechem, Vayim Arishim. So by Lulav we have the word Lekachtam, we say, Ma'la Halim, Be'aguda, just as over there it had to be bound together in a bundle, afkanami baguda here as well, you need to bind them together. So that's Rabbi Yehuda. For Rabbanon, lekicha melekicha le'alfina, they didn't have a Kabbalah to employ this Zerah Shava, and therefore they don't have a din of Eged by Lulav. If so, keman azla desanya, whose sheet is reflected in the following brayta, which says, Lulav mitzvah la'agdai. It's a mitzvah to be Eged al-Lulav, mitzvah la'agdai. Vim lo'y agdai kasha. But even if he didn't do it, it's kasha. How does this work? If it's Rabbi Yehuda, kilo agda my kasha. If he didn't do igud, why is it kasha? It's a requirement according to him. If the bride says Rabbanon, I'm my mitzvah. Why would it even be a mitzvah to begin with? You know what? It's the Rabbanon. You don't have to do it, but it's nice. And we learn from there, he's not a lefan of a mitzvah. Beautify yourself before Hashem when you do mitzvahs. Rashi says, sukkana, lulavna, titisna. And bundling together the lulav, hadasim, and rovis in one bundle adds beauty. So you don't have to do it, but it's a mitzvah to do so. Zaklal kaldavish mekabel tuma. Mishnah tells us, sach is only kosher if it's not a complete utensil, if it's not mekabel tuma, and also it has to grow from the ground. Menana mili. How do we know this? Amar Reish Lakish. Amar Kra. Ve'ed yal menaretz. The pasuk says, sit in sukkahs. Why? Because you meant to remember your experience when you left Mitzrayim, when I sat you in sukkahs. The Gemara assumes it's referring to the being enveloped by the Anani HaKavod, and therefore we assume that the material used for the schach of today's sukkah is meant to resemble, meant to be close in nature to the Anani HaKavod, to those clouds of glory. And therefore it says Reish Lakish, what is a cloud? Amakra ve'ed yalam in aretz. The cloud rises up from the aretz. So we see from there that steam, fog, clouds come up from the aretz throughout the water cycle. So it comes up from the aretz, and we learn like this: ma'ed, just as a cloud, dovar shen mekabel tuma, something which is not mekabel tuma, it's not food or drink, it's just vapor. Number one, and number two, v'gedulim in aretz, it comes out from the ground. Av sukkah, likewise, our sukkah today, which is meant to be reminiscent of those clouds in the midbar, is also meant to have that type of material, which is similar in nature to a cloud. Dovar shen mekabel tuma, and number two, v'gedulim in aretz. Says the Gemara, "Nich l'man de'amar." That works according to the shita that holds anani kavod hayu. The material says, "Sit in the sukkah today because I sat you in sukkahs way back." It's referring to the clouds of glory. Okay, so we understand that the cloud provides the benchmark for kashras of schach. Elul l'man de'amar sukkahs mamash aslam. But according to the shita, that they had real sukkahs when they left Mitzrayim. Perhaps those that were now ready to be in the anam. Spit out of the Anan, as Rashi Nen of Kisaitse says, or some of Farshim say, between the Egel and Yom Kippur, they didn't have the Anan HaKavod. So the Torah is simply saying, sit in Sukkahs today, so that you re-experience, that you remember the journey out of Mitzrayim. In which case, Michael and Mema, what are you going to say? How do you know what they used for their Sukkahs? Maybe they used Kalem. The Sanya, as we learned in a Brisa. There are two opinions. Pasuk says, sit in the sukkah, kibas sukkah yishavti, es bnei Yisrael, because I sat the Yidden in sukkahs, way back when. Anani kavod hayu, referring to the anani kavod, who were enveloped in the clouds. The Rebbe Lezer, kibay misukkahs mamish, osalam, they made real shacks. So nich, Rebbe Lezer, according to Rebbe Lezer, if it was referring to the clouds, fine. So clouds are, enim kavotumma, gedulim in aretz. Elo Rebbe Kiva, Michael Meimer, according to Rebbe Kiva, they were just sitting today in a sukkah, to remember the journey out of Mitzrayim, to remember the huts that they experienced then, how do you know what they used for their sukkahs? Kiyas Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Amar Rav Yechanan, he quoted Rav Yechanan, who provided a source. Amar Kro Chag HaSukkahs Taslacha. And we learn that the sukkah is meant to resemble a chag. What's chag? The shlomim, the carbon. Makis sukkah l'chagiga. We connect sukkah to the chagiga. Ma chagiga dove she'enim kabotuma. Just as the carbon, which is an animal, is not mekabel tuma while he's alive. Number one, v'gedul min aretz, and he's sustained by the aretz. He grows off the ground. He eats off the ground. Av sukkah, likewise, the sukkah material is meant to be the same thing. Dovar shein mekabel tuma, v'gedul min aretz, Bez Hashem. We'll continue on this topic tomorrow. Let's just do a quick chazar of today's daf and discuss the kilas chasanim, because it's so not kavua. Even if it's very high and tall, you can sleep beneath it. Schach kasher is something which is gedulim in aretz, which is not mekabel tuma, and of course detached from the ground as well. By a sukkah, and by tzitzis, we need an asiya. It says chag sukkah is taslacha, gedilim taslacha. Let's say he used schach mechuber and then detached it. According to Rav, it's okay. According to Shmuel, you have to actually shake it as well. Sending by tzitzis. He tied on the strings, which are not yet roi. According to Rav, just snip them. Detach the loops. According to Shmuel, that doesn't work. And we learned that this machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda, who holds lulav tzarech agad. Chachamim say, you don't need it, but it's nice to do so. Zekei li maveyu. Kol tov to you and atzlacha rab.